of Philemon. Hardly ever have opportunity to look at these one chapter books. You want to brag about reading a book in the Bible? 25 verses right there. Praise God. But oh my, I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Praise God. Philemon is just before Hebrews, easy to find there. Verse 21. You don't even have to say chapter 1, just say verse 21. There's a number of themes that the apostle touches on here as he writes to Philemon. And I like what he says here in verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience. There are people in your life that you can say that to. People in your family that you know you can rely on. I've got confidence that you're going to obey. That you're going to follow through. That you're going to be consistent. Praise God. So he said, confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. That would be good on your resume, wouldn't it? And your evaluation. You always do more than is asked of you. Huh. And so I just want to title this, Do More. Everybody say, Do More. Do More. Praise God. And you've done a lot. The Lord has blessed. You've been faithful. You've been obedient. You've followed through. But I think we can do more. Praise God. Because that's what God does for us. That's what the Lord consistently provides for us. More. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. You know, I thought about that statement that Paul said, do more than I say. And I just started to think of what the Lord directs from us, what he has commanded or what he has directed. And I thought how he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength, your total being, everything about you. Let it be focused on the Lord. Let it be directed by God. Let it be what uplifts the Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not half-heartedly, not once in a while, not every now and then when they happen to think about it. No, diligently seeking him. He rewards because of faith. Amen. You must be born again, he told Nicodemus. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Thank God for that power that he reveals. Amen. And then I thought how John wrote, keep his commandments because that's a sign of your love for him, a proof of your love, evidence of your love for the Lord if you keep his commandments. And then John added this little addition, his commandments are not grievous. They're not painful. They're not going to give you a bad day. It's not going to be a situation that you're going to be upset about. Oh, no. The blessings and the benefits of the Lord are real. Praise God. And when we do more than he tells us to, wow, it just turns out to be a blessing. Praise God. So, in this single chapter, there's multiple messages, as I mentioned. Paul is diligent to mention his fellow laborers. He recognizes, I'm not in this alone. I know I've got brothers and sisters who hold me up in prayer, and I pray for them because they're fellow laborers. He mentions Timothy. and Apphia and Archippus and Epaphras and Marcus and Aristarchus and Demas and Lucas, all of these different ones that he calls by name because he knows they are diligent. He knows that they do more than he would ask of them. You can go to Romans 16. We won't turn there just now, but you can go to Romans 16 and see the 35 names that the apostle lists there. Amazing. As I'm thankful that there are laborers in the harvest, because that's what the Lord directed us to pray for. And their faithfulness is demonstrated again and again. Verse 2 of Philemon, the apostle mentions the church that is in Philemon's house. I think that's awesome that he allowed his house to become an outreach, a preaching point. And Philemon's household was involved in serving the Lord. It was something that they did together. And then the purpose of the letter comes out with the name Onesimus, a servant who had run away. He had left the household of Philemon. I don't know what he was running from. Perhaps the workload became too much for him. Perhaps he didn't want to serve the Lord together with all that was in the household. He didn't want to follow through on some of those things. I don't know. And maybe he didn't understand about serving Jesus Christ. But thank God, that's not the end of the story. He was converted by the truth. The gospel had a good effect on him. Verse 11 of Philemon, which in time past was to thee, he's writing to Philemon about Onesimus, to thee he was unprofitable, but now he is profitable to you and to me. Praise God. He's worth something. His life has been changed. There's been an encounter with Jesus Christ that has made a difference. Praise God. And I'm thankful that's not the only one that Paul would mention that has been changed. He talks about Mark and says that be sure you bring him along with you as he writes to Timothy. And he points out, Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. That wasn't always the case. That wasn't always true about John Mark. There came a time when he had to make a change. And thank God, the Lord will bring that change for you as you keep reaching out to him. I'm thankful that there's good, better, and best. And the Lord is constantly moving us along that continuum until we're brought into the place where the Lord is satisfied with our work, and he will declare, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Oh my, to hear that word, amen, is to be blessed in above measure, and I'm thankful for it. Doing what you're asked. Think about Noah. Think about how, in his circumstances, he received divine direction and design. All around him was evil imaginations continually. All around him were actions that were not favorable to serving God, but yet he determined he was going to do what God directed him to do. There were short-term goals, there were long-term goals, there were things that he did not know and perhaps understand. It had not rained before. And for that matter, Noah had never built a boat before. Talk about amateurs. But God moved upon him. And so the materials were gathered. The management of his time and of his team. Hopefully there was more in his team than just his sons and their wives. But that's all ultimately that went into the ship. Into the ark. And it's not always that the majority is right. Not always. We thank God we live in a democracy in which the majority rules in most of the time. But I'm thankful for the power of God that is able to move in your life, even though you may be a minority in terms of spiritual endeavor and spiritual focus. Thank God for the power of the Lord. You may be the only one in your family, in your community, on your job, but I'm thankful the Lord knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord can come upon you, even though you're facing something you've never done before. I'm thankful for the power of God. But the Bible lets us know Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. No shortcuts, no better ideas, no thinking that I think I'll use different wood. I think I'll just put pitch on the outside. Pitch on the inside, kind of nasty. Kind of sticky. I don't like all this sticky business. We're just going to put pitch on. No, he followed through. He was diligent. Praise God. And thank the Lord. The Lord blessed him, because I guarantee you there was a thankfulness in his heart when the waters began to rise. The rains fell, but also the fountains of the deep were broken up, and underground rivers began to flow on the surface. The water level got higher and higher. I guarantee you he was thankful. And if they had high fives back then, Thomas, I'm sure he was given high fives. Amen. To Shem and Ham and Japheth, because his sons and their wives and his wife were the only eight aboard the ship. He saw all the animals. But oh God, he took care of them and blessed them for their efforts. Amen. And the blessings of God that were there. Now look at Numbers 2 and 34. How that actually Numbers 1 and 54 to begin with. The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. They recognized it was God's command to them through Moses, and they followed through. And then in Numbers 2 and 34, the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. They followed through in the way they were to behave every day, the way that they were to march in formation, the way they were to pitch their tents, their standards, and so on, according to their families and their house and of their fathers. They followed through exactly. And then Exodus 36 and 5, the people brought much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord, much more than enough. I'm thankful that they could do more, and the blessings of God could be there. Why did they do that? Because they already saw what the Lord can do to bring them out of Egypt. 10 plagues. It would have been awesome to see five of them, or half a dozen of them. But no, God does a complete work. Praise God. And the 10 plagues that brought about their deliverance, and then they're marching through the Red Sea, and the pursuing army of the Egyptians being drowned in that sea as the waters came back together. Water from the rock, manna every morning. Their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. I'm thankful that we're able to sing as well like they did. And in our day, our God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. My God is more than enough. Jehovah Jireh is my God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the power of God and the blessings of the Lord. And I'm thankful that Jesus did way more than was required. Praise God. John asked him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" One passage of Scripture says that when that message came with John's disciples, John was in jail. John was wondering. John was, I don't think he was struggling with his belief. I don't think he was abandoning his call in the wilderness. I don't think he was doing anything of the sort. I think what he was doing was preparing the hearts of his followers to go after Jesus Christ. Praise God. But what did Jesus do? One account says that at the same hour, Luke 7 and 61, at the same hour, or verse 31, whichever verse it is there, the Lord did healing. The Lord did cures. The Lord showed his power. And then he told those two young men, go back and tell John. The blind received their sight. The deaf can hear, the crippled walk. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do the work and to know that the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached to the poor. I'm thankful that's the kind of work our God can do. I'm thankful that's the blessing that was there. He didn't have to show those proofs again, but he did more because he wanted those disciples to understand, here's the one that you're to follow. Here's the one you're to believe. Here's the one you're to call upon. Amen. Mark 2, the lame man was healed. It was noise that Jesus was in the house. It's okay to be noisy when Jesus is in the house. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord it brings about a praise in our hearts. Amen. But those four friends carried their paralyzed man up onto the roof. That's the kind of friends you need. The friends that will carry you. Friends that will help you. Friends that will lift you up. Praise God. Now they let him down through the roof, but they didn't let him down in the sense that they didn't help him. In the sense that they didn't care about him. Oh no, thank God for friends that will do more than they're asked. Praise God. And the Lord said to that man, your sins are forgiven you. How incredible. How powerful. What a blessing, because there were probably times of bitterness in that young man's heart. Probably times of questioning and doubt as he wondered, why is this my circumstance? Why is this my life? Probably times that he felt like giving up. But I'm thankful that the Lord looked into his heart and said, your sins are forgiven. And then he looked at his body and said, rise up and walk. Oh, praise God. Our God is able to do more. Those 10 lepers that were healed, they had to stand afar off. They couldn't approach unto the Lord. We know one of them did, and the Lord laid his hands upon him in another separate situation when a leper was healed. But those 10 stood afar off and cried out. I don't know if they cried out in unison. I don't know if they cried out each for their own needs. But I know the Lord had mercy upon them as they hollered out for healing. And I'm thankful that the Lord simply directed them to go to the priest and show themselves so that there would be the proper recognition and so on. But as they went, they were healed. Oh my, obedience is honored by the Lord. And thank God that they were cleansed as the Lord fulfilled his word. One of them, we know, came back to glorify God and to give thanks. He fell down at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Doing more than you're asked. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do good things. The Lord told about how that earthly fathers are able to do good things. Instead of giving a stone when they're asking for bread, you're able to give good things. You know, I wondered about that. When was something about a stone and bread mentioned for the Lord? And he had the right answer. Amen. Those temptations from the devil. Turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. He's still letting the devil know, you're not going to get the upper hand. You're not going to trick me with another question. You're not going to do something foolish and I'll fall for it. No, he was telling the people, you know how to give good gifts. You ask for a fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. You ask for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. But verse 13 of Luke 11, he nails it down. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Of all of the things that God could give, of all of the things that he could have mentioned, God can give healing, God can give peace of mind, God can give strength, God can give blessing. I'm thankful he focuses in on, God will give the Spirit. Praise God. I'm thankful that we know it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the power of God within you that will raise you up. It's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God for the power and the blessing and the strength that God gives unto us. Amen. A lot of ravens flying around your house? The little birdies are coming back. There's a white-crowned sparrow. There's a junco. There's the pine siskin. Kind of fun to get through that book and see, oh, what one is that? Which one is that? They're all returning now. But consider the ravens, Jesus said. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have a storehouse or a barn. God feeds them. The Lord takes care of them. You might throw a crust of bread out every now and then. You might toss something out for them. But God feeds them. And then Luke 12 and 24, how much more are ye better than the fowls? Praise God. That's not a rhetorical question. That's the Lord letting you know that God takes care of all of his creation, but you're special. And how much more is he going to give to you? Praise God. He said, consider the lilies. I thought I'd get Lily to raise her head and look at me there, but she's busy with something else. They toil and spin not. Nope, they're just there waving in the breeze. Beautiful. And Solomon in his splendor couldn't compare, couldn't fit, couldn't measure up. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Then he couldn't have but have a little jab there, O ye of little faith. But you know what he's saying? A little faith is going to mean something. A little faith is going to produce something. A little faith is going to help you. Praise God. And then it's going to grow. And then it's going to increase because it'll help you to do more than you're asked. Amen. And move you into the realm of the blessings of God. Ephesians 3 and 20 is such a powerful, powerful promise of the Lord. In our midst, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wow. According to the power that worketh in us. God's not going to just do it for a divine display. He wants to show you. He wants to work in you. He wants to develop and increase that faith in you. He wants that power to work in you. Praise God. Amen. We better put that verse up, brother. Brother Levi, the folks are looking at me like I kind of changed the word of God. Ephesians 3 and 20. No. What we think he does, what we ask he does, what we ask or think he does, all that we ask or think he does, above all, abundantly above all? Exceeding abundantly above all? Yeah, that's what he does. But look at that last part. According to the power that worketh in us. Again, it's not going to be just a carnival display. It's not going to be just an amusement park entertainment. It's going to be a connection that God makes with you. The power that works in you. Hallelujah. And then that display is going to be there. Oh my. What God can do. What power he can display. What blessing he can bring forth. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let the devil distract you. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Oh, no, you let that power continue to work and that blessing be there. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Hebrews 9:14. You've got to let that purging take place. You've got to let that change happen. You've got to ask God, make those changes in me, God. Let me see how much more you can do. How much more you can cleanse me. How much more you can change me. How much more you can do works in my life. Praise God. And the Lord will show his goodness and his power. Now the apostle made sure we would understand where that power comes from. In 1 Corinthians 2, he talked about preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he let them know, this is the most powerful writer in the book of Acts. This is the one who preached on three continents. This is the one who just did some incredible things. But in verse 3, he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. He wants us to understand it's not what he was able to produce, not what he was able to bring forth. In verse 4, he said, your faith needs to stand not in the words of man's wisdom, nor the wisdom of this world, but in the power of God. In verse 5, he said, I want the demonstration of the Spirit and power so that your faith would stand in the power of God. Hallelujah. And that blessing is there. God did so much in his death and his burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he defeated death. Death was the weapon of the enemy. Death is what he holds and dangles over people and brings fear. But thank God, the Lord conquered death. The Lord opened the tomb, praise God. The stone, the seal, the soldiers, all of that was meant to intimidate. All of that was meant to show defeat, total and complete. But thank God, the power of the Lord came forth in spite of the steel, in spite of the stone, in spite of the soldiers. Thank God, the finality of the tomb was changed and there was resurrection. Jesus changed the unchangeable. Jesus undid death and came out of the tomb, and he is alive forevermore. Oh, thank God that the power of God is displayed to do a work in our lives. And he changes people much more. Praise God. That's why he did it. Not so that we can have a story to tell on Easter. Not so we could have just something that would be a tingle and a thrill and so on. But so that we can understand God wants to make changes in our lives that will be for our profit. God wants to make changes in our lives that will be for our benefit. He wants to do away with things that hurt us. Things that cause catastrophe. Things that bring disaster. Things that are going to pull you down. He will move you into peace that passes understanding. He will move you into joy that is unspeakable. He will move you into the realm of blessing and power in the power of God in the presence of the Lord that will lift you up above every trial, every problem, and make you more than a conqueror and an overcomer of his blessing and power. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord and the blessing that he brings into our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Changed by a new birth, brought into a new life. This is what Paul is telling Philemon about Onesimus. He ran away as a servant, but he's coming back as a brother. Praise God. He's gone for a season, but he's coming back a new man in Christ Jesus. And you receive him. Praise God. Verse 16, now as a servant, or not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Thank God for those special relationships. Thank God for the special blessings that the Lord brings unto us. Amen. And oh, thank the Lord for the changes that he makes in us. And how much more are we going to let him change? How much more are we going to let him lead us into his power and glory? How much more are we going to wave goodbye to the things of this world and move into the things of the new world? Praise God. The blessings that he wants to take us to until we step into that heavenly realm with him forever. Praise God. Amen. Because heaven is a place of rejoicing. It's not a place of regrets. Not a place that I wish I had. No. Now is the time to make sure we don't have regrets of what we do for the Lord. No, we move into the realm of blessings and strength and goodness for God. But here's the question. Do we do as much as we can for Jesus? Or do we do just enough to get by? See, doing more than we're asked. Praise God. And so that we can know his power and his goodness. So we can be lifted up in his strength and his power. Praise God. So that he could count on us. I know your obedience. I know you'll do more than I ask. Praise God. Does the Lord have that kind of confidence in you? I want to walk with him so that there's that kind of confidence that he would have in my life. Praise God. And as I look at his word, and I have the time of understanding what he's saying, praise God, and I let the changes come to my life that he wants to make, praise God. And I ask, oh God, I need more of you. I need more, Lord. Amen. Could you stand with me today? Thank the Lord for his blessings now. We're in the presence of God. And his touch is able to minister. He's able to do the work that he desires. Praise God. And, to ask more for the Lord is not being selfish. To ask God to give you more of his spirit, more of his power, more of his mercy, more of his compassion. It's not depleting what God has. He's not going to say, no, I need to save some because there's some people on the other side of the world that are crying out to me and I don't have enough to give to you and then to give to them as well. No, that's not what the Lord says. Praise God. But he's able to provide for every need, for every situation. And thank God we can put our trust in him today. And I want to live so that his trust is in me, his confidence is in me. I'll do more than he asks. Thank God. Because there are changes that God still wants to make in our lives. Amen. There's power that he wants to display in our lives. There's things that he wants to use you to do in his kingdom. Amen. Use me? Sometimes that's our response. Lord, I can't. Lord, we kind of respond like Moses. I can't. I'm too this or too that. And you got to be careful, as the Lord may tell you to throw down your stick. It comes a snake. And the Lord says, pick it up again. I don't want to touch any snakes. No. Shake them off into the fire. Praise God. And show the power of the Lord in even greater measures and greater ways. Praise God. Obedience, not excuse. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Close your eyes for just a moment now as Sister Glover sings this chorus. A chorus that I think should say what we desire from our hearts and what we're feeling in our spirits. Amen. Amen. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ.
More of you, Lord. Spirit till I'm lost in Thee. Oh, I want to live so that others may see more of You, Lord, and less of me.
Now that's a simple request. It's a very simple prayer. But I think the Lord delights in that kind of prayer because He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. More of You, Lord, and less of me. Increase Your Spirit so that others may see more of You, Lord, and less of me. Praise God. And that's the formula for victory. That's the way you conquer. That's the way you overcome. Praise God. And the power of the Lord is displayed through you. Can we come and pray here as we sing it again?
More of You, Lord, and less of me.